Hi everyone, welcome to the summer series of the Quest Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Fisher. I wanted to give a special introduction to these four episodes. This has been a busy travel year for me, so this short season 5 was recorded during those travels. I warn you, some of these recordings are on location, on a train, the beach, other outdoor locations, so it's a little rough in a few spots, but I really enjoyed these people and what they had to say in their interviews. All four episodes are available now. Thank you for listening, and look for season 6 coming soon. Life is a quest for logic and reason. It is a quest to find balance between science and faith. Life is a quest for knowledge and understanding. But most importantly, it's a quest for personal discovery. Whatever your quest, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. Welcome to Quest. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to the Quest Podcast.
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to get to talk to you. You know, I think I came across you on LinkedIn, and your book seemed really interesting to me. And I believe there were kind of some parallels in kind of how I write and how I think. And I was excited to have you come on. But before we get into your book and your life and all that great stuff, tell the listeners a little bit about you.
Sure. I live in central Minnesota, just south of the Twin Cities area. I live with my husband, and we have a beautiful blended family of 6 children. We have 3 grand boys, with 1 grand boy on the way, no girls yet. I am an attorney, but I worked for about 24 years in the corporate setting, and I stepped away from that about 4 years ago when my husband and I decided to open our own little custom contracting company. So I also have my contractor's license. And nice. At that time, I finished up a research project that I was working on. For about the last 10 years, I have been on what I guess you would call a faith journey, really trying to understand what I believe about God and why I believe it. And recently was able to document that journey in my book called Navigating True North, which I describe as really my journey from a place of blind faith and what I call magnetic north to a place of bold faith and what I refer to as true north. I'm currently getting my certification in spiritual life coaching, which is super exciting, and I'm excited about that. And one of my greatest passions in life is climbing mountains, and I will be climbing Kilimanjaro in the near future.
Nice. That's great. You know, I saw one of the descriptions of your book as an attorney's perspective on evidence for faith, yeah, which I thought was really cool. And I want to jump into it in a minute, but I want to go back. I want to ask you one thing real quick. Did you grow up spiritual or religious? What was a young Natalie like? What was that like?
Yes, in fact, I did. So I grew up Catholic, and I always kind of describe my childhood as being educated Catholic, because I went to Catholic schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. So I knew, you know, I was actually taught how to be Christian, how to be Catholic. And what happened basically is that I very distinctly remember as a child learning about what the benefits of believing in God and following God and what the Bible promised if you followed and believed in God. And, you know, things like Jesus saying, all you who are weary, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus saying that all things are possible with God. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you'll receive. That Jesus is going to send us the Holy Spirit and an advocate, and will bear much fruit and enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So what I remember is really learning those things and thinking how badly I wanted that. As a child, I was just painfully shy and fearful. And so I wanted what the Bible told me that I could find in God and Jesus. But what happened to me is I very much understood that to attain those things, I had to follow certain directions. And the directions that I was given was what many of us who are raised in Christianity are told, that you need to obey God's commands. You need to avoid sin in any way that you can. And then certainly if you do sin, you should repent and be sorry and ask for forgiveness for that sin. And then, of course, believe in Jesus, that he's the only way to salvation. Go to church, worship God, you know, trust and surrender to God, pray, read the Bible. So because I saw those as kind of the instructions or the directions to that promised destination, I took them wholeheartedly and really made every attempt I could to follow those. And unfortunately, what I found by following those instructions didn't really lead me to that promised destination.
Yeah. So you fell away from the Catholic Church. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, I did. And what I experienced personally is the fact that I certainly didn't follow those instructions 100%. I know that I failed in many ways, but what I was doing was honestly and sincerely trying to follow those instructions. But what I experienced is that personally, I did not find peace and joy. I had extreme amounts of anxiety and fear in my life. I didn't feel forgiven or set free from sin because I constantly felt consumed by trying to manage the sin in my life. I didn't feel loved by God. In fact, I kind of felt abandoned by God because I never felt his presence in my life. And my prayers often went unanswered. So all of this left me feeling very lost and confused. So that was how I felt personally. But what I was also experiencing kind of more from an external perspective was that when I was at church, I wasn't experiencing what I was told I should experience in that community. In fact, what I was often experiencing was a judgment and exclusion, and oftentimes felt like if this is what it is to be Christian, I really don't want any part of that. I felt like we were always focused on what God required of me rather than trying to build a personal relationship with God. So both personally, internally, and externally, what I experienced as part of the Christian community left me feeling so lost and really confused about what Christianity, Catholicism was all about. So yeah. I did walk away from the church at that point.
Yeah. So you had a crisis of faith. Really
I did.
What you had.
Yes, and I really did.
Yeah, just so I get a sense of, you know, the timeline. Were you in your 20s when this happened? Or
I was
it
in
later?
It was in my 20s. And, you know, what really happened to me is as I went away to college and to law school, I started to see different perspectives of the world because I had been so kind of tunnel visioned in that world of Christianity, which was beautiful. But I didn't really understand that there were arguments out there against what Christians believed. And so when I went to college and law school and started seeing, you know, scientific arguments that the world could have been created by random unplanned events, you know, and that there was evidence of that. And then finding out things like the Bible is historically perhaps unreliable. Those things really caused me to question. And eventually, that was one of the things that led to me kind of leaving the church. But as I had my own kids, I tried to go back to the church because I felt I owed them that. I felt that was my responsibility to teach them about Christianity and God. But unfortunately, what happened is my life hit the skids at one point, really had, like you said, a faith crisis, but a crisis in life. And that's when everything kind of came crashing down and I was really ready to not only leave the church, but to leave faith in God.
Yeah. You know, that happens. This is all too common of a tale of people in their 20s when they leave the church, you know, they grow up with it. I don't like to use the term indoctrinated into it, but it's really kind of does fit.
Right. And, it does. Yep.
And you know, your parents drag you to church every Sunday, and as soon as you're old enough to say, I'm not going anymore, you don't go. Or you go off to college and your mind is opened up to a billion new ideas and concepts. What kind of college did you go to? Did you go to a liberal college, or what was that college experience?
I went to a liberal secular college and law school. And so, like I said, that was kind of an eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah, well, that did it for sure.
it absolutely did. And I kind of in that time felt very ignorant and naive, and that was not a good feeling.
You know, another thing you mentioned was, you know, you said your life hit the skids. That is also all too common of a tale with people that leave the church.
Absolutely.
First, they experience their crisis of faith, and then they're like, hey, I'm unplugging from this for a while, going to do my own thing. And then things go off the rails. And sometimes, you know, I think that structure that you have through religion can keep that from happening. It's not on all the cases, but I see that. I hear people say the same thing. You know, first I left the church, then I really went into a bad place, and you know, and they eventually find their way back to God, or they may not exist on the earth anymore. It's sometimes bad. But I want to hear, keep going with your story, because really incredible to hear this. So I want to know, you know, how you started to come back around.
Yeah. Well, what happened to me when I quote hit the skids was that I went back to the church like in full force, and I said, maybe the reason my life hit the skids is because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, right?
So I went
back and dug in even further, you know, like went to Bible studies and all of that thing, those things, but I still wasn't finding that destination that I was looking for. So I was still feeling so empty and so confused. And it was really at that point when I had walked away and then came back and put even more effort and intention into it, and it still didn't happen for me, that's when I said, I'm done.
Yeah.
And what happened at that point is I began to really search for guidance. Like, why isn't this working? Is it something I'm doing? Is it something I'm misunderstanding? And I didn't really feel like I had anybody in my life that I could go to ask those questions. I really feared going to church leaders. I feared going to family because I didn't want to feel judged. And I know a lot of people feel that way. But I also didn't want to hear those same old answers. You know, maybe you're not trying hard enough. Maybe you don't have enough faith, because I was giving it everything I had. And if it wasn't good enough, I just simply didn't want to hear that. So what I did instead was I really turned to the internet, and I started researching things, and, you know, like, what is faith all about? And, you know, why aren't I finding this connection to God and that thing? And I think at that point, I found everyone else's reasons for not believing in God. So at that point, my faith foundation literally crumbled beneath my feet. As I mentioned earlier, I found things that were saying, you know, it's naive to believe in God, it's ignorant, we can prove scientifically that the universe created itself, and the Bible isn't even historically reliable. So I walked away from my initial research really broken. And it hit me really hard, because I'm an attorney, and I understand like the importance of evidence. Became very clear to me that everything that I had my faith and belief in God in at that point was blind faith. So felt just mortified that everything that I believed was based on blind faith. And then as a mountain trekker, I knew the importance of direction, and I knew the importance of landmarks. And all my life, I had been following these directions, knowing I should find certain landmarks in terms of peace and joy and, you know, fruits of the spirit and things like that. Never found them, but just kept plowing forward and following those directions. So my initial research really left me feeling completely defeated. But there's two reasons that I couldn't give up. And that was the first and most important reason, was that I had given my kids those instructions. And I knew that in this place that I was feeling so lost, they'd be there 20 years down the road. And right. So I knew that they deserved so much more than that, and felt that I deserved to give them some sense of truth and direction of truth. And then the other thing that really motivated me to find truth was the feeling that I experienced in the mountains, because it was when I was there that I felt complete peace, that I felt connection to something, whether it was God or the universe or nature or whatever. And if that was there, I wanted it. So those two things really pushed me to find truth.
Yeah. And how did, and how old were you when that happened? When that sort
so
of that
I would have
happened?
Been at my in my late 30s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when did the idea for the book, Navigating True North, come about?
So when I kind of made this determination that I needed to find some truth, it was a struggle, because I thought, how do you do this? I basically needed to start over, because everything that I had based my faith and belief in God was, in my opinion, based in blind faith. So yeah. I needed to completely start over. But I realized that the things that I kind of ignored before, the tools and skills that I had that I ignored before, could help me find truth. And that was, you know, my research skills as an attorney, my ability to look at the facts and the evidence and to weigh those things and make reasonable, logical decisions. And then also as a mountain climber, I knew how to determine if I was headed in the right direction, you know, finding landmarks and those things. So that's right. What I used as my tools and resources to set out on this journey.
Yeah.
And what I realized I needed to do, like I said, was start all over from the very beginning. And I identified four questions that I needed to find answers to. The first being, does God actually exist? The second being, who is God? The third question being, if there is God, what message has he shared, if any, with creation? And then the fourth question being, what does God want from me? So those are the four questions that I set out to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did you publish the book?
So the book was actually published 2 years ago in 2021. But I would say that process of putting that into reality was about 10 years. And yeah. I didn't even really, you had asked, you know, how did you know when you had a book? Really not so much later in the process. I really started this journey just with the intention or hope to find truth, and that I could share that with my kids. So yeah. I didn't really, and of course, all along the way, I was kind of recording what I found. So when I realized that, you know, this really became a journey and a story, I had it all documented. So it wasn't difficult to then make that leap into getting it published as a book.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you classify yourself as now? Are you a Catholic again? Are you a Christian? Are you just a believer? What would you call yourself now?
Yeah, I would not call myself a Catholic. Sometimes I bristle a little bit at calling myself a Christian. And it's not that I don't believe what Christianity believes. I truly do believe everything that Christianity believes. But what's important to me is my personal relationship with God. And by answering those questions that I set out to answer, that's what I found. I found a personal connection to God. And so that is what's so important to me. But I sometimes struggle to find that in the Christian religion. So often it's the Christian religion that tells us how to be a good Christian. And it tells us what to do, but it doesn't always give us the instruction, the direction we need to find that personal connection to God.
Right.
So
right.
While I believe everything that Christianity believes, I struggle a little bit kind of with the rules, the dogma, and the doctrine of Christianity.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure. Which I hear a lot. And you, yeah, and you're calling this a deconstruction trend. And that was one of the things in one of our original emails, you said, you know, one of the topics you've been focusing on is this deconstruction trend, which, you know, really you've explained a lot in your personal story. Do you want to dig into this a little bit more? Why you call it that, and what kind of a trend do you see this as?
Yeah. So one of the biggest realizations throughout my research and what I was looking for and finding was that I'm not the only one feeling this way. And after the book came out, a lot of people personally reached out to me and said, hey, I just want you to know how much I relate to the experiences that you've had. And then in my research, I ran across studies and things like that. And there's a recent study that was put out by the Pew Foundation that talks about a research study that they did and a survey they did back in 1970. And the results of that survey, basically, they were asking people, how do you identify in terms of religious affiliation? And the results back in 1970 were that 90% of Americans identified as Christians. And fast forward that to the year 2020, they did that same survey again. And that number went from 90% to 64% of Americans that now identified as Christian. And what the kind of the major finding of that study was that people were not changing religions. They weren't going from Christianity to Islam or, you know, other religious affiliations. What they were now identifying with was what they call, in quotes, nones, N-O-N-E-S, that they no longer were affiliated or considering themselves part of an organized religion or even having faith in God. So those nones included no religious affiliation, but agnostic and atheism as well. So huge growing number of people identifying as not believing in God.
Right, right. I know, you know, when I put my first Metatomics book out, it came out at the very beginning of COVID, which I thought was a death sentence for my book because no book tour, nothing. It turned out it sold like crazy because people were so confused during COVID, just questioning so many aspects of their life. And when I would start to get messages from people, I got a lot of messages. Like, certainly, I totally believe what you're saying there, the nuns. But I also got a lot of people that were refraining from putting any kind of tag on what religion they were, but just calling themselves spiritual. So they were backpedaling from being Christian or Jewish or Hindu or whatever they might be, and just be like, I'm spiritual, you know, but I'm wondering why there's a God that does this to us. Which, when you see something like this, you know, an event that happens that quarantines everyone and takes your access to money away and your friends away and going out to dinner away, you start to have a crisis of faith in situations like that. So there's certainly trends like that. So I totally get where you're coming from on that. And you think that the church isn't preparing people for their journey in faith correctly. Yeah. Is that really what the I think kind of the foundation of this is, right? Is not preparing people for life, for a spiritual life. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely found that, as I said before, that in answering those questions, at the end of it, on the other side of answering those questions, I found this personal connection to God. And what I believe that was all about was that I was able, by asking questions like, does God really exist? And myself going out, finding evidence. And the way I answered that question, by the way, is to say, how did the universe begin? Because there's really just two options, right? That the universe began by random unplanned chance, or the universe began as a result of intelligent input or design. And so I went through a very long process of understanding both sides of that issue, of really understanding, like I went dug into quantum physics to the point I thought my head was going to explode, because I really wanted to understand the evidence, you know, for and against the existence of an intelligent designer. And what I was able to prove to myself, and it really came down to DNA and what DNA, the coded information, and that the cell uncodes that information, sends instructions to the proteins that create and, you know, carry out those instructions. It was in that understanding that I came to the personal realization that I absolutely 100% believe that there's an intelligent designer, because I don't think there's any chance nor any evidence to suggest that happened by random unplanned chance. And the reason I say all of that is because that provided me with foundation for what I believe. It provided me and allowed me to make my own choice that was not based on blind faith because somebody told me to believe it. It was based on evidence that I found to be logical and convincing. So when I say that Christianity, that I feel it doesn't prepare many people for that personal relationship with God, that's just one element, is that we need foundation, or many of us do, especially the young people. Today, they need that kind of evidence to say, I'm not willing to jump into this blindly and to put all my faith in something that isn't supported by evidence. And the thing that I really question is, why as a community of Christians aren't we talking about this when the evidence is there? So I guess that's one of my biggest, you know, points is let's talk about it. Let's give young people and anybody who's struggling with this, let's give them the information on both sides of the issue and let them determine for themselves what's logical and reasonable.
You mentioned to me that the main tools that you identified as being critical to faith and relationship to God are foundation, direction, and connection.
Yes.
And I think that's interesting, because I've always looked at the four things religion provides is meaning, purpose, community, and ritual. And mm-hmm. you're right there with that, just kind of in a parallel method of thinking. Do you want to go into those points a little bit more?
Yeah. So foundation is not only kind of that choice or understanding, a decision for myself that God exists. It was also a decision that Jesus defined who God was. And, you know, there's so many arguments out there that the Bible is historically unreliable. And I really dove into that. First of all, I set out to really understand all of the different world religions, not all of them, because there's way too many to study, but the top five I really studied, because religion is the only institution or place I found that defines who God is. And what I realized in studying those religions is that they're very subjective claims. And I don't mean to diminish their claims, but it just wasn't, it didn't provide me with something that I could objectively find evidence to support. And the only claim that I was able to identify with an objective claim was Christianity, and the fact that they claimed that God interjected himself in the course of human history, right? So I went through all the historical methodologies and really came to a point where I could determine for myself that God existed and that Jesus defined who God was. So that foundation was critical for me, because it whenever life got tough, whenever I said it doesn't make sense that there's a God, I had proven to myself that there was, and that was the foundation that I now stand on. And like I said, I think that so many are not prepared with that kind of foundation, so that when life gets tough or you see all the injustices in the world or COVID hits, people go, it doesn't make sense. I'm done, right? So that foundation is a critical piece. The other element that I really found in my personal journey is what I'll refer to as direction. As a Christian, as a Catholic growing up, the direction and instruction that I was given was really focused on salvation direction, in terms of, you know, it's all about sin. It's that we're bad and that we needed Jesus to forgive us, to be that sacrifice, to pay the price of our sins, and take that on himself, which I believe is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But what I found as I read the Bible for myself for the first time is that this word kingdom jumped out at me. And as I kind of understood that concept of kingdom from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, what I found was a much bigger narrative and direction, that what God initially did, as explained in Genesis, was that he was creating a material kingdom to be like heaven on this place called earth. And he gave people dominion over that kingdom. Right. And he taught them how it operated. And he said, this is how it's going to work. And as long as you operate it this way, we're good to go. But if you don't, there's going to be problems. And, right. you know, that choice was made, and God didn't take away that free will. He worked through the Old Testament and the fathers and the prophets and the kings in an attempt to restore that kingdom. But it was Jesus that came back and restored the kingdom of God. So while that encompasses salvation, I just think there's so much more direction there that defines our role in creation of that kingdom. And once right. we have an understanding of that, again, what foundation that builds. And right. to understand that is critical, the personal relationship.
Right.
Yeah, and then the third right. one being connection. And connection really is that personal connection to God. And we hear all about the Holy Spirit, or we talk about it a lot, but we certainly don't in Christianity talk about the significance of the Holy Spirit and who we are. And the Bible very frequently and commonly defines us as body, soul, and spirit. And the distinction between those things, my body being my material mind, my soul being my immaterial, and then the spirit being that connection to heaven, where heaven and earth overlap, and how powerful that can be, and how really identifying that connection, realizing it, nurturing it, can bring about such change in your life. And again, I think that's something that we often don't learn as a matter of course in Christianity.
Right, right. No, that's great. I love all of this. It's beautiful what you put together. And we're getting close to you toward the end of the podcast, but I definitely want to touch on one more thing. So you formulated a strategy called Stand and Climb. Yeah, tell me about these acronyms, what they are, how they help people.
So STAND is what I developed in terms of what I want to do every day to live in that personal connection with God. And I'll just quickly go through what that acronym stands for. The S is for seek first the kingdom of God, because Jesus tells us that's the first priority, is seek first the kingdom of God. Understand who you are in it, understand what part you want to play in it, and claim it as your own. The T is for time. And that's, you know, just obviously that it takes time to build that relationship with God and with Jesus, but also it takes time. We have to be patient and let God work through the process, right? So often we ask for something and it doesn't happen, and we say, well, I knew it. It's not going to work. But we have to allow God that time to really make the process work and turn everything into good. The A in STAND is for attitude of altitude, and that's just living like Jesus as much as you can, living above the ways of the world, living in love and respect and all of the things that Jesus taught us. And that's really that idea of altitude, because we're living above it. And then the N is for navigate in the spirit, which I think takes a whole lot. And I'm learning this in my studies as a spiritual life coach, how to really connect with that spirit inside of you and let it direct you versus letting your ego and your mind direct you. and how beautiful and successful you can be when you allow that to happen. And then the D originally stood for do it, but I've really changed that into being a divine ambassador, because I see that is what our role is on this earth, is to represent the kingdom of God and let the power and the love of God flow through me and touch the lives around me. So that's what I want to do every day. And then the climb is really what I can expect, because it was so important to me that I understood what I would find if I was in relationship with God. I wanted those landmarks to know, am I headed in the right direction? And if I am, then, you know, I know that I'm in good connection with God. And so the climb stands for what I can expect. And the C stands for challenges. And you wouldn't expect that as what you can expect from a personal relationship with God, but it's, we can't expect there won't be challenges. Jesus said there would be. And he said, even though there's challenges, and it's because the world has a very corrupt governor right now, right? That we've got somebody rotten in control. And so you can expect challenges, but know that I will always, through those challenges, work things for good. So we can't, you know, just set God aside because there's evil and challenges and things in the world. We have to expect that. The L in climb is for life eternally and life abundantly. And those are, you know, things that we talked about in terms of, I know I can expect that I'm going to go to heaven when I die and live eternally, but I also can live abundantly here and now on earth. And I should be experiencing things like joy and peace. So I kind of follows on that in the insights of the Holy Spirit, the insights of the Holy Spirit. I should be experiencing peace and joy and love and kindness, transformation in my life. And if I'm not finding those things, maybe stopping to say, well, I'm not finding the landmarks. What do I need to do in my stand to do things a little differently to make sure I'm finding those things? The M in climb is my significance and purpose, and how beautiful it is to find that significance and the purpose that God put me here on this earth for. And we are all made for a significant and intentional purpose. And really realizing that was a huge win in my life, because as I said before, I felt so kind of insignificant and full of anxiety and fear, where now as I see my purpose, which has changed my life. And then the B finally stands for bold faith and bold transformation. And in this personal connection, in finding this relationship with God, my faith has gone from very blind and questioning faith to very bold, because I've made decisions for myself based on evidence, and have seen immense transformation in my life. And once I was able to find that personal relationship with God, everything else just fell into place. So that's what the stand and climb represent.
That's great. Those are great tools.
Yeah, it's easy to remember every day. I've got things, you know, on my mirrors and things around me that remind me. And I was, you know, in the mountains, climbing takes intense effort, and it's all about what I have to do to climb that mountain. And when with God, it's just about standing. I just have to stand, and then I'll.
Right, right. Well, this has been a great interview, really. Natalie, I can't appreciate you enough for coming on and telling this story, because it's really powerful. And I want to tell the listeners how people can find you out there in the interwebs.
Yep. So I'm still in the process of kind of getting myself out there on the internet and social media. But my book can be found on Amazon. And again, the title is Navigating True North. And I also have a website, just my name, natalielatska.com, where you can find out more information about me. And there's lots of information to come because I am in the process of trying to get more of a presence on the internet, but still at the young stages of that.
And you have a podcast too, right?
Well, I do. Yep, I do. I've kind of put that on hold for a little bit while I'm finishing my spiritual life coaching certification because it's too much.
Yeah.
It takes too much time. But yes, I'm going to be getting back into that. And kind of the idea behind that podcast is I go out in my Jeep and I just explore and find a place to be in nature where I just feel so peaceful and connected with God. And talk about different issues that people are experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. And will there be another book?
There will. Yeah. All right. I'm working on it. Yes. I'm working on it and excited.
Well, I appreciate you coming out today and let's do this again. When you put the next book out, let's come back for another interview and we'll do it again.
I love it. Thank you.
Natalie, thanks for coming out and we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.